for you. And I think because of Tony and his ability to kind of lay it all out there for you, I think the expectation was the same from Brady.
Yeah.
And I think that's unfair.
All right, so Mike's telling me he's got the Brady sound from yesterday that I'm talking
okay.
about.
Yeah, yeah.
So, again, there's a lot of reasons I guess you can get on him. You tell me if you would write an article for this.
And he's taken a lot of sacks. Almost 46 sacks this season alone.
I mean, it sounds like a guy who spent half his career in New England. Like,
yeah.
It sounds like, you know,
it's not,
how somebody from Boston would say sacks.
It's too much. And it's not just this, I'm not picking on this one isolated article. It's non-stop with this guy where people are just, and I do think the money's an issue. I think the same way people get on athletes for the money they make now if they don't perform to that level.
100%.
I think people probably hate that they paid him $375 million and he's not John Madden.
But I don't think people are, don't ever want to hear, like, I think he has a career in the booth, right? I think can only grow and get better from this. I don't mind him calling big games like that. I don't mind listening to Brady. I don't walk away from it. There's some people I'm just like, this turned him the hell off. Like,
he's not that.
Yeah.
But you also don't turn the game on because of him either.
No, but I think when you're in the booth, you do have to provide a sense of color where it keeps people in tune, right? Because I think
most guys do that, though. I do. I really do. Are there some that are just stop talking? Yes.
Yes.
But do most of them give you the insight, especially the ones that were on the field? Yeah, I think they do.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's a weird business. That's all I'll say.
People are going to nitpick, though.
Yes.
Yeah, that just is what it is. And because he's Brady and what he represents and what he's been able to attain thus far in his career, he's always going to have haters.
As we get paid to nitpick, yeah. Ours too.
That's us.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
By 9:05, it is the Boomer and Geo program coming to live in the Built Ford Tough studio. It is Willie and Jerry in for the guys. We'll be back on Thursday after a very lengthy vacation and time off for the holidays. Everybody will be back except for myself. We'll actually be off Thursday and Friday. But Eddie, Al, Boomer, Geo will be back on Thursday. So there's two different ways we can kind of reset this. So I thought instead of just getting into the Jets and the Giants, we could play the bridge game. Now, what does that mean? We're not playing music, nothing like that. I don't mean that. So both teams, when you look at the Giants now at 3-13, as it sits right now, have the fourth pick in the NFL draft. The Jets right now, as it sits, I believe would be picking seventh.
Yep.
Both teams have pretty obvious questions at the quarterback position. For the Jets, is Aaron Rodgers going to be back? Are they going to draft a quarterback? Do they go bridge quarterback? For the Giants, well, they got to draft a quarterback, you would certainly think. Or do they not, now that they're four, do they assume they're not going to get one of the top two guys? Do they not go the quarterback route, perhaps trade out of it? Who knows? Stockpile and then build the defensive and offensive line to build them out more, because obviously defensively with Dexter Lawrence and Burns, and they're good there. Do they go bridge quarterback? So let's say, for argument's sake, they both go in that direction. I've got a list here of quarterbacks that
bridge
will be that would be available next year. And you tell me if you would take a flyer on them. And if you think, and I think the biggest question too would be, if these teams went in this direction, do they give them a serious opportunity to win at the same time as rebuilding? To where they can get better in different spots, to where it's not going to be a 3-14 type year. Because there's so many questions. You don't know who the Jet coach is going to be.
Yep.
As we sit here, we don't know who the Giant coach is going to be.
Fair.
I'm going to go on the basis that Brian Daboll's back.
Fair.
For the sake of this little exercise. Daboll can't go bridge quarterback and go 3-14. You can't. I think if you had a rookie quarterback and the only issue you had was the rookie playing well but making mistakes and you had a tough season, okay, maybe if you saw progress. But if you took a free agent quarterback and you stink, that's going to signify the end.
Yeah, I agree with that.
This is the problem with this. These are the names that are available.
Oh, man.
Now, clearly, guys can get cut and there could be trades made. I've certainly read enough where Kyler Murray could be made available. I don't know if he will be. I've read articles where Dak Prescott could be made available. I don't think he will be. So I left those guys off the list because I don't think that's happening, but who knows? Here are guys that I know will be free agents, and you tell me if you would take a flyer on any of them. I think we both agree Sam Darnold is going to be at the list, the top of anybody's list, if the Vikings don't give him a contract.
Yeah, they're going to give him a contract.
Okay. Now, I don't know that the Jets would go the Sam Darnold route, but he's going to be there and available. And that's not even so much a bridge quarterback. I think what he's done this year, you're signing him to a
starting.
Yeah, he's your quarterback.
He's your guy.
All right, so I take him out of the mix. The next name, I can't even believe I'm putting this name on the list, Zach Wilson. He is a free agent.
To do what?
Right. All right, next name.
Okay.
Trey Lance.
To do what? Yeah.
This is my point. Marcus Mariota. Oh, a little intrigued by Marcus
Mariota. I like Marcus Mariota. I do. I think, you know, he's been in a couple situations. Obviously, I remember from his Tennessee days. Even when he was with Philly, he was pretty stout when he got in there. I don't know. He's a good bridge quarterback.
Could you see a Vrabel Mariota pairing?
I could see that.
It's interesting.
I could see that. That's interesting.
That is interesting. All right, the next one. This is a guy we've seen. Had a pretty good day yesterday. Drew Lock is a free agent.
I don't know if I've seen enough of him to kind of make him your guy for a whole season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, injury,
again, this is the problem.
Injury
with
prone. I mean, yesterday he had a day, but he had four or five starts this season.
This was his fourth.
Fourth start. He's okay. Like, I don't know if I've seen enough.
Right, but we're talking bridge quarterback. You're not getting, unless it's Sam Darnold.
Also, when you say bridge quarterback, this is a guy you plan on, you may not give him a 3-year deal, but like, I need you to kind of, like, I'm okay with Flacco. You know what I mean? I'm okay with Flacco.
Even at this stage of his career, yeah. you'd run it. Wow. Okay, because he's on the list. I got Flacco. He was actually, well, next is Andy Dalton, who will be available.
Will's Dalton been down in Carolina with Bryce Young, right?
Yeah. You got Flacco. Here's an interesting one, and we brought up this name earlier, and I really am. I am intrigued by this name in Justin Fields.
See, Justin's interesting because he's still young enough.
Yep.
You know, the biggest thing with Justin Fields right now is his mechanics, his accuracy. But, you know, he's electric. And he can do so much with the football in his hand, especially running the ball. You would have to think it would have to be the right system with the right coach to kind of get the best out of him. I don't think he's a plug and play anywhere type quarterback.
Jameis Winston.
Yeah, I would get Jameis.
Okay,
yeah.
That's there. We got a couple that you like so far. Mac Jones. No, that's not.
Yeah. Okay.
No, I'm not buying that one. Jimmy Garoppolo.
I forgot Jimmy G was still in the league.
I saw him on the list, I was like,
I thought he was done. Where is Jimmy G?
He'll be a free agent this year.
Is he with the Rams? I'd take Jimmy G. I'll take a shot at Jimmy G.
You would?
For Jets? Yeah.
He doesn't stay healthy, though. Like, that's the problem with Tyrod Taylor. He just doesn't stay healthy ever.
I get that, but I mean, that's football. Guys are going to get hurt. It is what it is.
Some guys can't hurt more than everybody else.
But it's not like guys are like not. A lot of these guys, they don't have a problem with not coming into camp in shape. Like, the football's getting them. You know what I mean? Like, you can't, there's no way around of getting hurt, you know?
I know.
Football just happens, and you're going to get dinged.
Cooper Rush, we talked about
I'm
him.
I'm definitely taking Cooper
Rush. I happen to agree with you. And then the last one, and this is the one that, because he's here, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I'm in agreement. I can see the Jets bringing Aaron Rodgers back, especially with Davante Adams. The issue is, what are you going to do if and when Garrett Wilson wants out? Right? And, you know, the reason I'm okay with bringing Aaron Rodgers back, because we are seeing a version of Aaron Rodgers, a healthy Aaron Rodgers, right? Obviously, when he was dinged and dealing with the knee and the ankle, whatever he was dealing with, he was immobile, and his lack of mobility took away from his game, and the offense struggled. So if Aaron Rodgers can remain healthy, yeah, I would bring him back. He's still throwing touchdowns. The interceptions have gone down. It's just a matter of somebody can connect with him and get through with him.
That's the biggest thing right there.
Yeah. I don't know if there's – I don't know who that is. Maybe John Gruden? I don't know. I don't know who that is.
So if you were – let's say you're Woody Johnson today, and you've got to make these decisions. I know they've got the whole Tannenbaum firm dealing and making suggestions and putting this thing in place. If you're Woody, you're going in which direction? Are you – because I've even heard in places where if you hire Vrabel, the best thing to do would be to hire him and let him pick his GM. Usually it's the GM first, they hire the head coach. What direction would you go if you had to make, because, I mean, we can sit here and say they can't get it wrong again, but we've said that for the last 30 years, and all they do is get it wrong, aside from a few years with Rex.
Yeah.
They very well could get it wrong.
I think whoever you hire as a head coach, you got to believe that there's a 5-year plan that's going to be installed. That you're not going to, if they were to have trouble right out the gate, this isn't a situation where you feel like you have to reset right away. You got to believe in the process. So if you're going to believe in a process, then yeah, you would hire a head coach who's going to say, hey, I got a GM that I've worked with, know about, me and him are on the same accord. Then you go that route. Or you go the traditional route and get a GM who feel like, all right, I'm going to now get a head coach and kind of build this thing from inside out.
Because you do agree. I mean, this Jet team is not, we've talked about it ad nauseum. They're not, they don't lack talent. They just lack some sort of structure because it just has not worked in every which way. I mean, even when they look good, they look bad.
Well, the Zach Wilson was a big strikeout.
Sure.
Right? Mekhi Becton Vallett, he looks great at right guard for the Eagles, didn't work out for them. So there's been some misses, but there's also been some hits. You know, Quentin Williams, Sauce Gardner. They've drafted well. Michael Carter was really good for them. Obviously, Breece Hall, Elijah Vera Tucker, Garrett Wilson. So they have core pieces. I think that's the one main, if you're a head coach and you're a GM right now, what's something that you're extremely that's extremely attractive to you when, you know, trying to go after this Jets job? It has the fact that you don't have to really go into this draft and get a whole new offensive line. Like, maybe the Giants maybe have to. You know, I think they get a couple pieces that they got to fix up. But overall, you really just focus on, all right, if Aaron Rodgers is going to be my quarterback, how can I get through to him? Who's going to be my play caller? What does that look like? And are we going to go get a tight end? Because I think that's the biggest need for the Jets right now.
Like,
especially Tyler Conklin. Conklin is going to be a free agent. He's going to be gone.
Right.
You could potentially be at the seventh spot and get the big stud out of Penn State. I forgot his name right now, a tight end. So there's an opportunity there. And how can you really figure out, how can I get Breece Hall to be a factor in this offense? Because he's a stud. Valley, he has some injuries this year, but with the ball in his hand, he can do a lot of dynamic things. How can we get him more part of that offense?
Here's Joe in Princeton. What's up, Joe? Good morning.
Yeah, hey, good morning, guys. Hey, Willie, on that point of drafting, you know, I think two of the biggest misses, you know, that have hurt this team this year, Mitchell and Carter Warren. And, you know, I can't help but notice that, you know, Warren was a left tackle in college. Mitchell was a right tackle. And then, of course, because they're on the Jets, they're playing their switch yesterday. So I'm wondering, you know, what is the reason those two guys haven't developed? I think it's really hurt us, especially our depth. And do you think it has something to do with them playing out of position?
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily playing out of position. I think both guys have dealt with some injuries, especially Max Mitchell. I do think, you know, both of those guys weren't necessarily brought in to be plug and play right away like an old fashioned. Both of these guys were brought in to kind of solidify some quality depth at the position.
Yeah,
I think Carter Warren is probably the one who I thought, like, I kind of knew what to expect out of Max Mitchell because I watched a little bit in college. He was a little raw and needed some time to develop. Carter Warren was probably the one I thought would crack the lineup a lot earlier. I thought he was a better lineman than what we've seen thus far.
It is funny, though. We talk about the offensive line, and if you listen to this program for years and years, you know how much it's driven people here crazy talking about the Giants with the offensive line, blah, blah, blah. But when you look at two times this year when Fashanu went down and things changed for them and all of a sudden wasn't coming as easy, and then yesterday things were going well, and then Moses goes out and the game just completely flipped. It's hard to ignore the fact that it's the most important, you know, position on the field that is having those front five guys be there.
Right, but I think with everything that went on with the Jets this season, one of the issues weren't the offensive line finally. And that's
I agree.
Right. And so my point to that is, if you're a GM, that's a plus for you, right? Because the fact that you don't have to go get a left tackle, that you have Olu, the fact that you can honestly bring back Morgan Moses and draft a young stud that can learn underneath him, plus having, you know, John Simpson's played out of his mind this year. He's had a really good year. Tippmann's been solid this year. Vera Tucker coming off injury. Valley, he missed a couple games, has been pretty much stout. So from the trencher standpoint, you're fine. It's just about other pieces of filling in and figure out, if I get the right quarterback to lead this offense, we can be in a lot better position this year.
It's amazing because I know, you know, and it's part of your job to be critical, and you are on Sundays when you do the SNY show. But I also, when I hear you talk, I feel like you're more encouraged by what next year could be as opposed to, because we talked about it, they're a mess. But it's also not that far.
It's not that far apart because I think to some of the core pieces we talked about, right? Like, I do think there's a world with Devontae Adams and Garrett Wilson can't exist in the same offense. We see it around the league, right? Yeah. If you're talking about Mike Adams and Chris Godwin, you're talking about
Chase and Higgins.
Higgins, Puka Nacua, and Cooper Rush. Yeah. Like, there's a world where having that dynamic duo exists. I think for the Jets moving forward, it's depth, right? And even on the defensive side, I think if you talk about Quentin Williams, he needs help. So when you talk about getting Mason Graham out of Michigan, I'm like, I'm okay with that. The guy's 6'3". He's a road, you know, he's beef up front. They need more size. And also, you're going to get Jermaine Johnson back coming off injury. You still got Will McDonald. So there's a lot of pieces. When healthy, this team can look damn good. It's just who's going to be the guy throwing the ball for you, and what does the head coach look like?
All right, on the other side, one more report from Chris Lopresti. More of you as well, 888-808-1019. It is Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo. Come right back.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, the boys will be back on Thursday after their vacation. So it is Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on a very warm Monday. I will say, very nice getting into the car this morning when it wasn't 25 degrees. So all was good.
I know.
It wasn't terrible.
I know, it sucks. You're wearing all the warm coats. It's a little balmy. Get the back butter.
Don't worry. It won't be by the end of the week.
Okay.
You'll back be just butter. Fine. Ooh. Yeah.
That's a new one.
I like that. It also made me cringe a little, but
well, that's kind of gross.
Well, like, people don't like the word moist, but I appreciate when someone too can work that in. Back butter, I think would fall into that category.
Yeah. Moist back butter.
Moist back butter. Ugh. Not what you want.
Anyhow, coming to you live from the Built Ford Tough Studio, 888-808-1019 is the number, but right now it is Chris Lopresti time.
All right, brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. So how about those Giants? Had it all working on offense yesterday, pretty much from the get-go.
Here comes a blitz. A little slip screen for Neighbors. Catches it at the 30. Jukes at the 20. Runs out of a tackle. To the 10. To the 5. Touchdown, Malik Neighbors. 31 yards. And that's why they drafted him 6th overall. He made players miss.
Sure did. Bob Papa here on The Fan. He had another touchdown catch and run later in the game. 7 grabs overall for $171. The 2 touchdowns. He goes over 1,000 yards for the season. As the Giants offense breaks out in week 17, Drew Locke was in on 5 scores. 4 passing, 1 rushing. He threw for 309 yards, and the Giants avoid the embarrassment of becoming the first team to go 0-9 at home. They took down the Colts yesterday 45-33. Of course, with that win, though, they do drop from the first overall pick in the draft down to number 4, but the players are not focused on that. Drew Locke included.
What's it like to get that first win at home in front of fans this season?
Oh, they deserved it. The locker room deserved it. Everybody a part of this organization deserved it. It was a lot of fun.
Well, for the players, at least. Some of the folks that actually paid to be there yesterday. A little bit from Brian Daboll. Nice moment for everyone involved.
But we got a lot of good people, a lot of good character people on our football team, and they work every day. And it's good to see results. It's good to see smile on their faces. I'm happy for the players and the coaches that put so much into it.
And also a reminder that this was the blueprint of how things were supposed to go.
That's how the offense needs to perform. That's how the quarterback needs to perform. So when you do that, you win the turnover ratio, you have a chance to score points and win.
Yeah, which I wish they would have done a little bit more of these past couple of years. One more from Darius Slayton here. I mentioned he's spoken numerous times about how they are capable of so much more, enough talent to play better than they have, and they certainly weren't about to lay down here at the end of the season just for a draft pick.
Well, obviously not taking, you know, at the end of the day, like, it's like anything, we have a job to do, you know, and this isn't basketball, it's not golf, it's not tennis, like, football, you get hit, so I'm not going to go out there and just let people tee off on me just to tank.
I'm not taking any free shots.
I don't blame them.
Yeah, exactly. This was their first halftime lead since week 3. They end up snapping that franchise record losing streak, and it'll set up week 18 on the road against the Eagles next Sunday afternoon after the Eagles beat the Cowboys yesterday 41-7 to wrap up the NFC East title. Saquon Barkley, 167 yards on 31 carries. He goes over 2,000 rushing yards for the season, 101 away from Eric Dickerson. Now, I asked Willie last hour if it mattered that if Barkley does play and get the record, he's doing it in an extra game. Interesting, though, looking at the side-by-side of Dickerson and Barkley, to this point, 16 games, Saquon doesn't quite have the yardage, but he's had less carries, and his yards per carry is actually
more.
Higher.
Nice.
Touchdowns about the same, so it's a pretty comparable season when you take all of that into account.
I feel like all that's gone out the window. We did it with the baseball. I mean, no one dealt with it more than Roger Maris, obviously, back in the day.
The game has changed now.
I mean, you can make the case, right, you say it's less carries. I mean, the game is so different. It's not run-heavy, it's pass-heavy, yes, as opposed to back then when it was run-heavy.
Very true. Jets wise, it was a laugher up in Orchard Park, to the point where Nance and Romo were kind of having a field day after the Bills sent Josh Allen to the bench to take the rest of the day off. It was 33-0, but Buffalo would tack on with Mitchell Trubisky in there.
Here's a guy coming right in. That's Sabres. Look at him with that burst, taking it for another Bills touchdown.
I think we got a quarterback competition now, Jim.
A controversy.
Trubisky is on fire.
Yeah, they were having fun. It was a laugher, unless you're from a Jets perspective. So 40-0 before Rodgers finally sat himself down. Of course, Tyrod Taylor comes in first action since week one and leads a couple of window dressing touchdown drives. 40-14, the final. Here was Rodgers on his interaction with Jeff Ulbrich, ultimately making the decision to get Taylor in there.
It was 33-0. We were sitting there. And I said at some point, probably go to Tyrod here, huh? And then the next play, they threw a screen for a touchdown. So it's 40-0.
Yeah, another ugly situation. 16 accepted penalties for 120 yards. It was another delay of game on offense. I mean, it was a mess pretty much from start to finish. Sauce Gardner didn't finish the game. He left in the second quarter with that hamstring injury, which almost kept him out of the game to begin with. And then afterwards had quite a bit to say as he was asked if it was embarrassing to see 40-0 on the scoreboard in the fourth quarter.
Embarrassing, I don't even know if that's the word. Because what was the score the first time we played them?
It was
23-20. Exactly. You telling me now it's 40-0, like, if you ask me, that mean like, it's the end of the season. Obviously, we're not going to playoffs. Some people might be checked out.
Yeah, I don't know about might be. Seems
making
like
business decisions.
Some of them definitely are.
Aaron Rodgers just did, trying to pick up that fumble.
Yeah, it certainly looked that way. I'm going to take you back to Saturday morning here on The Fan, Joe Beningo's regular Saturday program. So he gets his buddy Brian Costello on from The Post, longtime Jets beat reporter, and they ended up doing about 30 minutes together.
Wow.
Now, I haven't sifted through the entire interview. I did catch this little snippet at the end, essentially, as they're saying goodbye to each other. So it sounds like maybe it was a little heated prior to that. At this point, they're back to being kumbaya, and this was Joe at the end sharing his plan with Costello on what the Jets need to do or what someone needs to do in and around the Jets.
Forget flying planes over MetLife. We need to fly one of these big drones and drop it on top of Woody's roof at his house, okay? And wake him up. Woody, we've had enough, Woody.
All right, and then on the sign-off, Joe, once again, letting Kaz know he didn't care for, I guess, the article that he wrote over the weekend or leading into the weekend, specifically one of the head coaching candidates that Costello mentioned as a possibility for the Jets.
You know, I love you too, Brian, but that article, man, I was delirious the other day.
I can't bat 1,000, Joe.
Yeah, well.
All right. Have a good one, Joe.
Matt, I have to sit here for a while and just, you know, absorb Matt Nagy as my head coach. See you, Brian.
See you, Joe.
All right. Beningo, wow. Matt Nagy. Oh, God.
Yeah, I'm with him.
I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the crap.
You have, and you told me about this tweet about Rex.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. Okay. Go right ahead, yeah.
Well, no, you're the guy. You go ahead and do it. I don't want to take
this
over your
job. This is Jay Gassman, who I guess is maybe filling in today over on 880 ESPN in New York. So Rex, I guess, was on and said he expects to speak with the Jets for the head coaching vacancy after the regular season ends.
There you go.
So,
which is good. It's not wrong with a conversation. Doesn't mean you're going to get the job.
Not at all.
Even I wouldn't mind Rex as a coach.
I know you wouldn't.
Yeah.
Me neither. He's fun. He's fun around here. The team plays hard for him. And he'd be walking into a team that's got talent.
100%.
Yeah. The team played. It's a while ago now.
I know it is. I'm well aware. I know
that. He's said a lot of things on TV since then, so I don't know how that plays. But
that gets washed over. I think
you would know better than anyone.
No, I mean, I think there's this perception like what a coach says in, you know, on TV that he would lose any credibility as far as stepping back into the building and
talking. Well, he's been removed for a while, I guess, is what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
No.
He's still one of the greatest football minds.
Yeah, no, he knows defense. No doubt about that. All right, the Sunday nighter was a good one. The Falcons and the Commanders were flexed into that spot. They ended up going to overtime, tied at 24. Washington took the first possession of OT right down the field, slowly, I might add, over 7 minutes as they got into the red zone and would finish it off.
Third and goal at the 2. Two tight ends to the left. Here's the staff. He's going to throw for it. He does. Into the end zone.
What a catch. Zekerts, who wants to go to the playoffs? Touchdown, Washington. They win it overtime. We'll see you in the postseason.
Yep,
Sounds like he wants to go to the playoffs.
Let's get in the playoffs. We've seen a lot of bad football the last few years down there in the D.C. area. Commanders radio, third TD pass of the game for Jaden Daniels, the two-yarder to Zach Ertz, a 30-24 victory. That's 11 wins for Washington, their best mark since the Super Bowl season of 1991, and they are indeed off to the playoffs as a wild-card team. Falcons lose control of their playoff destiny as they will now need a Bucs loss and then a win of their own in Week 18 in order to take the NFC South title. All right. I know you played the Tom Brady sacks thing,
yes.
Right?
Shacks.
All right, so Shacks or whatever it was. So you got Brady and Burkhardt on the big one between the Vikings and the Packers on Fox yesterday. Right out of the gate, Brady's memory or recall failed him in the moment.
Yeah, it's a big road challenge. They've got four losses here, Green Bay does. Two of them to the Lions, they're a good team. The Eagles, they lost to them, they're a good team. And they lost to the, who'd they lose to the other one? Anyway, they got a big opportunity today to go on the road.
Yeah, the other team they lost to.
The Vikings.
The Vikings.
I know.
The team that they're playing yesterday. And Minnesota ends up sweeping the season series as they held off Green Bay in that game 27-25.
How did you find that?
Oh, that was
it's all over
yesterday.
The place.
Is it everywhere? Yeah. If you look hard enough
every
on Twitter.
Every Sunday, there are Brady clips everywhere.
I didn't think I would be empathetic towards Brady, but I find myself, the more and more we keep talking about him in the booth, I'm with you. I'm with you, Jerry. Let the man breathe a little.
All right, well, Sam Darnold goes for 377 and three touchdown passes.
That one is a bad one.
Yes. And now Brady does his LFG player of the game.
Okay.
After the game on Fox, he does the one-on-one from upstairs with the guy who he deems his player of the game. Of course, that was Darnold. And here was the start of that.
How do you guys have so much confidence that you're going to come through in these one-score games?
First off, Tom, this thing's pretty heavy. This is legit. no, but, you know, we have all the confidence in the world in ourselves.
Darnold referencing, I guess, the little trophy that comes with it or not so little. And then, so that was the introductory part where Sam's kind of having some fun with him, and then that one-on-one interview would progress.
Yeah, speaking of a guy that you grind with every single week, describe the feeling of having Justin Jefferson out there and some of those catches that he makes routinely on a weekly basis.
Yeah, he's a pretty good player, man.
You hear the chuckle in Darnold's voice, so he's thinking along the lines of we're thinking
children
phrasing there for Brady, and then Darnold on the way out would continue to enjoy his little time there on the air with Tom.
Appreciate it, Tom. Hey, what's LFG stand for?
It's let's bleep go.
Oh, okay, I love it. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you. Great job.
Every game that I broadcast, I award the LFG player of the game to that one player who makes me say, let's go.
Not very natural with his delivery just yet, you know, but that's okay.
He is.
If I asked you which quarterback has the most passing touchdowns since the start of last season, your answer would be?
Most passing touchdowns?
Most passing touchdowns.
I would say Burrow, just because he's had such a crazy season this year.
No. Baker Mayfield.
Okay.
How about that?
Yeah, we had five yesterday.
Five more yesterday.
That's a good answer,
Huh?
See, I think I did know that. I don't know why I said Stafford.
He he had five more yesterday in a 48-14 Bucks win over the Panthers. Two went to Mike Evans, two to Jalen McMillan as he threw for 359, as we mentioned.
That's a team that if you saw them in the postseason would certainly shake you up a little bit.
Yeah,
well, like, I mean, they almost beat the Lions last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they've got the five. If they're healthy, and they seems like they're getting healthy now, I mean, that's a tough team to play because they can flat out score.
It does make last week's loss to the Cowboys Monday night a little bit of a head scratcher because they beat them up.
But this is what we always talk about when you got to stop a good quarterback. Go after him, and they beat the hell out of him last week.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. I had Ions play-by-play. Did you see the duck landed on the field in that game?
Yes, duck.
A duck flew in and landed on the field in Tampa as the Panthers were lining up to punt.
They tried to scoot him out of there. They were worried
that on the play, you know, it was right in the return area because these guys are going to trample this duck. But thankfully, the Bucs blocked the kick, returned it for a touchdown.
While the duck was still on the field?
I thought so.
Really?
I didn't know that. At the Sunday Sirius show, we had the reporter from Tampa down there who ran through the whole thing and said the duck was on the field, but thankfully they blocked the kick and went the other way, and the duck was kept out of harm's way.
And by the way, Friday we were talking about him and Noah. They posted a photo of them together this weekend. I mean, they looked like identical twins almost.
There was also Noah was doing whatever net game it was, Friday or Saturday, with Sarah Kustak, and he was doing an impression of
his dad.
Well, how... they used to argue in the house.
Yeah.
Dad would be telling him to do something. No, I mean, it was a little overdone.
Of course.
The same voice, same cadence, that whole thing, which is fun.
Yeah.
The Nets did lose in Orlando yesterday, 102-101. Cam Thomas back from injury, had 25 points in 25 minutes off the bench. The Nets making another trade. They're stockpiling these draft picks. It's some obscene number I did see. I didn't write it down. They've got a million picks coming up.
Well, think what they got for Bridges.
Yes. Even the second rounders as well. As they pick up 3 second rounders in this deal with the Lakers, sending Dorian Finney-Smith and Shake Milton to L.A. They get D'Angelo Russell and the picks in return. Hockey-wise, the Islanders lost to Pittsburgh 3-2, failing to complete the home-and-home there. Sidney Crosby did break Mario Lemieux's career assist record in that one. Rangers-Panthers from Sunrise tonight. The Blue Shirts are in the middle of this tailspin. And the Knicks play in the back end of a 2-in-a-row against the Wizards in D.C. They'll be going for an 8th straight win. Had to come from behind Saturday with Jalen Brunson going for 55 points. And then in the post-game locker room, you had the return of Josh Hart making a certain sound in the background as Brunson was meeting the media.
Look at the scoreboard, it says 50-something, so that is what it is.
So many nights where Tibbs has talked about you doing what's needed, and did you feel kind of fourth quarter and overtime, that's what was needed tonight? Was
we were a sub slow night. You got to give them credit.
I do love that bit. It is a pretty good... what is it?
It's fitting.
Goat sound.
Yeah, it's a goat sound. Goat sound.
It is fun.
Not to put you on the spot.
Yeah.
Could you check real quick? Because I haven't heard it.
I thought he was going to ask him to make a goat sound.
Nah, that's okay. There you go.
Oh, I hate
it. The game winner from the Bengals on Saturday night.
Oh, yeah.
What Horton Lapham sound like.
That's a great point. I got to scroll way back here.
Well, maybe on the other side we'll talk about this, too.
No.
I'm saying we'll talk about the game because that game was phenomenal. As someone that doesn't root for either team, what a blast that game was up and down the field.
Fleek says he hasn't. Go right ahead.
The Bengals trying to win it from the 3-yard line of Denver. Burrow looking to throw his pass. It is caught by T. Higgins. Yeah. Touchdown.
Over. It's over.
Bengals. And the final playoff spot in the AFC will not be decided until the final week of the regular season. That's the good. Cincinnati That's Bengals good, are still alive.
I was actually subdued for them.
A little bit.
I think they were a little concerned, at least the play-by-play guy, making sure he actually
was in the end zone
possession or got his feet in. But yeah, that does set up week 18.
But not apologize, cut you off. But that was a great game. I thought the football guys tried to give it to the Broncos a number of times, and they just botched it. They just messed it up.
Well, the Broncos will get it with a Week 18 win over the Chiefs, who might be resting, folks. Yep. If they lose, it opens the door for the Dolphins, who would get in if they beat the Jets.
Play spoiler.
If both lose and the Bengals win their game on their, what did I say? They're playing Saturday, right? It's an AFC North Saturday.
Yeah,
Bengals are playing on Saturday.
Steelers, Bengals,
right? And you got the Ravens, who would win that division with a victory over, who am I missing? The Browns.
Right.
Right? With Dorian Thompson-Robinson, who was a disaster yesterday. Rutgers-Columbia.
This
afternoon, Jerry, or this evening. 4:45 coverage will be on the call,
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock tip here on the fans. You can check that out. And with that, we come to Moment of the Day, which is unsponsored today, Jerry. So if you want to say Moment of the Day, you can go right ahead.
Moment of the Day.
There you go. Yeah. So we did have the unfortunate passing of former President Jimmy Carter at the age of 100. It was a good run. So we thought we would enlighten Willie today a little bit on Mike Francesa and his penchant for giving some interesting eulogies, a bit of a montage that leads us into President Carter earlier this morning.
Stan Lee died today. Did you ever meet the guy? What do you think of him?
Stan Lee?
Yeah, Stan Lee.
I don't know who he is.
Lee?
Don't know who he is, no.
Jesus.
Who is he? Who is Stan Lee?
He was one of the creators of Marvel Comics.
Oh, who cares?
All right, so we don't care about his passing.
I'm sorry.
No big deal. Then you got this one.
That happened today when I was walking down the hall at 10 to 3 and I heard Frank Robinson died. Because that means you open the show with Frank Robinson dying. Frank Robinson was, whether you liked him or not, and I couldn't stand him. But
all right, so we got that. Or a lot of these eulogies also come in written form. We'll post on Twitter or X. So nice of the great Big Action Bill using his great Francesa impression to bring this one to life for us.
Horace Clark was the symbol of the Yankees' fall from grace post-1964. He was mediocre. Just like the Yankees were, 65 through 74. Rest in peace.
Rest in peace.
My Lord.
Okay. So now we've set the stage for you, right? And that brings us to yesterday and the passing of former President Jimmy Carter.
Yeah.
Mike was on top of that as part of his Sunday podcast. And here's how that went.
I just see the breaking news that former President Jimmy Carter has passed away at the age of amazingly 100. I don't know if he's the first president to ever make 100. He was not a great president.
Mike is only that. Mike can do tremendous. Funny. So interesting timing. I played the Beningo audio about Matt Nagy. Well, we've got Tom Pelissero from NFL Network's got another name that I'll interview for the Jets head coaching vacancy. And Fleegs makes a great point. You might want to call Joe and get his reaction live on the air. The great Ron Rivera will interview for the Jets head coaching vacancy.
All right.
Really?
Doesn't exactly excite you, but
not Matt Nagy though either, or Matt Eberflus.
Well, I don't know that I'd put Nagy in the same conversation as Eberflus.
No, but Ron Rivera.
That's what I mean. That's
a fine name.
Imagine if the Jets come through all this and like, hey, Ron Rivera is going to be our.
That's the problem, right? This
would not fire up the fan base.
No,
everybody going to be like.
But there's a lot to that.
What do you mean?
Let's talk about it on the other side.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, inside the Bill Fortub studio, it is Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo. The boys back Thursday. So CeeLo hit on something there before the break, and I kind of agreed with him, and you gave me a mean face. So it was about hiring somebody for the Jets that will excite the fan base. And while I do agree you can't hire just to appease the fans,
right,
I do think that there's a balance that needs to be struck when you have a season of stink, which they've had this year and last year. Let's be honest. It's been a long time now since they've been any good. I do think you need to hire someone that's going to, you believe, is A, going to do the job. But I also believe you need to hire someone that's going to excite the fan base again, because otherwise you go into the offseason, what exactly?
With nothing.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. I do think you need to hire somebody that's going to, you know, not only light the fan base up, but also garners the respect for people in the locker room, right? And that's most important. I also think there's names out there, like we've mentioned before. Mike Vrabel does that. I think if you, you know, I don't know how many. John Gruden probably would for some. I think it would. I don't know how many people would actually jump, but I think John, I think he's credible enough. But overall, man, I think the fan base matters because they're the ones that's sitting through it. They're the ones who've been through it all thus far. And they have to believe whoever's going to be the next guy, they're going to lead this team in the right direction, but it's going to motivate and be a culture changer. And that's what ultimately that's what matters.
Because I can make every case. And now, again, as we discussed, there's 1,000 decisions that need to be made. And between now and 3 or 4 weeks from now, the face and the look of the Jets is going to be very different from the top down. It could go all the way to the quarterback. We don't know. But the way I see it is if they brought in another coordinator, I think the fans are going to be cautiously optimistic, as opposed to the names we talked about with Vrabel or Flores, or where I feel like they think that they've got a guy that's been there, done that, and can do it again for their franchise. I think for the Giants, whether or not it's Dable, I don't know. But, and I'm not saying that I would pick either Ward or Sanders. I'm not sure, to be quite honest. But
I don't think anybody is.
But if you did draft Shedeur Sanders, I think the fans are excited for next year, and there's something there.
Because of what comes with him, right?
Yeah.
The name, the prestige, the...
And the hope.
The hope.
We're selling hope, essentially.
Right. And I also think, with reference to one thing that the Giants do have, I don't think Giants fans will be all that upset. Some may. We'll be all that upset if Dable remains the head coach. I think they were like, well, let's give him one more shot. Let's continue to figure it out. In reference to the Jets, I think once the Jets fired Robert Saleh, they went to be 1-5. And if you've ever watched every Jets game thus far, and this is, I don't know if this is, maybe it is, but it seems like Olbrich is just over his skis. Like, you know, like things are just too big for him. And it's the same type of rhetoric game after loss. It's my fault. I got to be better. I got to watch tape. Jet fans kind of went through that with Todd Bowles, the same rhetoric where it was like, enough is enough, right? We need somebody that's going to give us some type of insight to why this team isn't performing at the level we expect them to. And so they have to get a head coach who can handle that, you know? Because I don't think Robert Saleh expected this season for him to be fired halfway through the season.
No, right? Or when he was.
It takes a special type of coach to walk into this building if you're for the New York Jets.
And you are right. And in fairness to Olbrich, I don't think we as fans understand how overwhelming standing on that side and how fast the game comes at you and how fast the decisions have to be made and how quickly plays got to get. I know he doesn't call the plays, but the
point went from coordinator to be pretty much the CEO.
Of everything. Now, I would have, as the novice here, I would have thought that it would not have been that difficult given the fact that you've got a future Hall of Famer on the field on the offensive side. I sat here all summer last year saying that he was going to take care of the offense, just his presence being on the field.
Well, think about also everything that happened. It went from Salah being fired, who Salah hired him to run the defense, right? And they've kind of worked, you know, hip to hip on that. On top of that, when he stepped into role, here comes Devontae Adams, right? And everything that came along with that. And then the defense started to kind of regress. And then it was like, all right, well, you're supposed to be a defensive-minded coach. Fix it. And he was never able to fix it on top of Aaron Rodgers, you know, still going through what he was going through. And then they, you know, the demotion of Nathaniel Hackett. Now relying on Ty Downing to kind of fix the offense. I mean, that was a lot for this man to handle.
Think about that, too, right? You had the whole thing with Hackett,
with
Downing. We had Salah get fired. I mean, the amount of stuff that has gone on this season, you can
and all
write a
that
book
was
about.
Dropped on his desk. Like, all right, make it better somehow. I like it's tough. So when I look at Oberg, I kind of have empathy for him. He's like, I don't know if any man could have stepped in and rewrite the ship or make it better than what it was prior to him being, you know, the head coach.
And that's why, not to come back to it, but that's why when you look at the quote unquote bridge quarterbacks, it matters. It matters who you're going to have under center next year. In turn, like if you're a Giant fan base, you have been beaten down for a long time now. Not as long as the Jets, not by any stretch, but it's a long time now.
Right.
You want to have something to grab onto that is going to excite you for 2025. If you're the Jets, same thing. You can't just bring in Joe Flacco again. Been there, done that. It'd be boring. Right. My point is, you've got to bring in someone that, if it's not Aaron Rodgers and you're not drafting a quarterback next year and it's not Jordan, you need someone that's going to come in there that's going to give you hope that you're actually going to win games, not just go through the motions waiting for 2026.
Yeah, and I don't know what that looks like, honestly. I think if I'm trying to be honest, I don't know. You know, Aaron Rodgers was the hope. You know, he was the...
Think about that.
I'm serious. Like when we all went through the Zach Wilson era and we're like, all right, bye, that's gone. And then they brought us Aaron Rodgers. Yep. We're like, okay, Hall of Fame quarterback, four-time MVP. Yeah, he's a little wacky, but the guy's a damn baller. He can get this thing right, moving in the right direction. Injury, horrible season. Arguably the worst season than what Zach Wilson was doing when
amazing.
He was a quarterback.
Absolutely amazing.
And his team, like, it's hard to even fathom that they're this bad during this time in their during the season.